Hi, today's September 19th, 2021. I'm Todd Agasaworth with my friend John Westfall, and this is Mobile Views Podcast 376. It's the post-Apple announcement podcast. So it was September 14th was all the big announcements.
So I don't know about you, but the announcements seemed like the later I went into the announcement, the less excited I was. because they announced the iPad mini first, which we'll talk about, the iPad mini 6. Yeah. And then they announced the Apple Watch Series 7 and then the iPhone 13. And it became less and less exciting for me as an iPhone 12 owner as we went on, and a Series 6 Apple Watch owner. So
yeah,
whatever order you would like to go to. We can also talk about, as you put in there, iOS 15 comes out tomorrow.
Monday, yep, September 20th. I'm moderately excited about it because of some of the multitasking changes to iPad OS. But
yeah,
other than that,
all those little gestures I never memorized, I now don't have to worry about memorizing because they're actually giving us a button that will tell us how to swap. I'm also very excited for FaceTime with a link because I had an extremely excruciating Facebook Messenger video chat yesterday that I thought once FaceTime with a link comes up, that's what we're using. I'm not using Facebook's bloated Messenger client that doesn't work that well if I could just use FaceTime links.
You know, and that's funny because we're using Microsoft Teams in the personal mode for this podcast because I happen to prefer the audio quality of Teams to Skype, personal edition. Mm-hmm. But you know, weird thing is when you use Teams, the enterprise version or commercial version, you can send a link for either for a person to dial in to a regular phone number or to just connect via Teams even if they're not part of your enterprise. But when you use the personal view of it, and it's all the same app, right? There's only one Microsoft Teams app. There's no personal and business version. But when you switch to personal mode, there's no link you can send, I think. I can't remember. But
there isn't.
So you just, and it's kind of difficult to get people onto personal Teams. You know, it's like, oh, this email address doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. So in that respect, Skype is still a lot easier. But that's it. Anyway, okay. Today's the 19th. iOS and iPad OS 15 comes out on Monday, tomorrow, from our point of view. Okay, and you can call me out if I missed anything that Apple didn't announce. So they didn't announce an under-display or power button Touch ID on the iPhone 13, which I found disappointing.
Yeah, I've been, I think honestly COVID has set us back a year in terms of what Apple wanted to announce this year.
Yeah.
You figured they already had everything fully baked pretty much for the iPhone 12 last year before the pandemic got too bad. And then this year, I think the iPhone 13 did not have some of the things that were originally planned for it. And under-screen Touch ID is something I think Apple still wants to do based on all the rumors, but I think we're still stuck waiting another year for it. I'd like to see it come back, and that would be something that would get me upgrade is to have that ability back.
Yes, absolutely, especially since it appeared on iPad mini. but we'll talk about that later. The other thing that was not surprising but disappointing to me anyway was the Watch Series 7 didn't have any additional health metrics, so no blood pressure, no, whatever.
Yeah, that's another one that I think was a casualty of they just didn't have time to get it out. I think they obviously want to add more to it, but it's just not there yet. I'm hopeful that we'll see it soon. But they did at least announce some new additions to Apple Fitness Plus, which for people like me that use that service, I do think that's a nice change. But yeah, it is perhaps a little bit frustrating that we didn't see any real jumps at all with the Apple Watch Series 7 other than a slightly larger display.
Yep.
Which, of course, Apple preserved compatibility with the bands, which I have a feeling they're not going to break compatibility with the watch bands. I mean, how much thicker do you ever want a watch band to get anyway? That's the thing. All these commentators that keep going, as soon as Apple ups the case size, they're going to break compatibility with all the old versions of bands. The Apple watch bands, watch bands are somewhat a standard width. You only go so wide with them. So I don't see Apple seeing any good reason to break compatibility with bands other than people just want them to do it to annoy people.
Yeah.
But
and not to be sexist, but I think that some people, you know, mostly, well, at least women, would prefer a narrower wristband, you know, nothing so chunky like, you know, for men it's, you know, and again, sorry to sound sexist, but in general, you know, we've kind of gotten used to chunky watch bands, but women, I mean, you know, I know my wife's and my daughter's pre-Apple Watch bands are like half the width of my watch band, maybe two-thirds, but certainly narrower. So, you know, there's a population there that's, I think, unhappy with the chunky watch bands, although they're happy to Apple Watch.
Yeah, I just find it really interesting. It seems like, you know, we've talked about Apple Watch hatred in the past and how some of the tech commentators out there just don't like that people like wearables. And mostly this has gone away. But I do think there is a small crowd of people annoyed with Apple that just want Apple to do unpopular things to annoy their users. And it seems like every year when there's a rumor about a new case size, it's, well, they're going to break compatibility with all the old bands and all your bands are going to be worthless. And I just don't see a good reason to do that. And I don't think Apple has yet either seen a good reason to break compatibility. I mean, even if the case gets wider by another millimeter or 2 millimeters, you don't need the band to get wider for that. It's not like you need a chunkier band for a slightly larger case.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing, it just occurred to me, earlier, but I don't know if we've ever discussed it. Years ago, you know, pre-smartwatches, people would buy watches as maybe not as a collectible, but it'd become a sentimental memento, right? I mean, and, you know, watches would last forever. I think I've got a watch that my dad owned that still works, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But now the most expensive part of the Apple Watch is a throwaway, and it's the band that you keep as the memento.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I've been using the same $11 watch band since the, you know, I've only had two Apple Watches, the Series 3 and the Series 6, but I'm using the same $11 watch band I bought for the 3 on the 6. And, you know, that's, I wouldn't call it sentimental, but it's, you know, if any part of it is sentimental, it's the only part I haven't replaced. So,
well, I have it even worse. I have a lot of very expensive watch bands, and I've been using a $3 solo loop that I bought off of AliExpress, just mostly because I'm curious how long it's going to hold up. And I've been using that for about a month. I haven't swapped at all, and it's kind of shocking how well it's holding up at this point.
Yeah.
So.
And for $3, so even if it's broken a month.
Who cares about my very expensive Link bracelet? I think I paid $450 for that back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not using that. I'm using the $3 AliExpress. But
the one I was a little bit disappointed in was the lack of a new AirPod. And I don't know why I was disappointed, because I'm not in the market for a new AirPod, not a Pro, but, you know, AirPod third generation, I guess it would be. But I, for some reason, I really thought they were going to announce one, you know, maybe a lower cost device to bring it in line with the lower, not lower cost iPads, but the low cost iPads, which I assume are pretty popular. But it didn't happen.
But there are at least rumors, as we'll talk about later in the episode, of another event this year that might bring out a third gen AirPod.
I'll tell you something interesting, speaking of generations of AirPods. So my daughter has the first generation AirPod, not the Pro, the first generation AirPod that she got as a hand-me-down from her mom when her mom got the AirPods Pro. And my daughter's AirPod is just, it's not holding the charge anymore. So, you know, we tried the usual things of resetting it and repairing and all that. So I said, you know what, I'll just go pick you up. Your birthday's coming up, so I'll just pick you up a AirPods Pro. So I went to Costco because I remember seeing it there, and they were completely sold out of AirPods Pro. A lot of second generation AirPods, but completely sold out of AirPods Pro. And I when I saw that, and this was, I went after the announcement. So I was a little surprised because I thought, well, you know, if it was pre-announcement, I thought, well, they're getting rid of stock to, you know, sell the new AirPods, but that wasn't the case. So kind of disappointing. So I just ordered one from Amazon, of all places. You can pick up AirPods Pro from Amazon for about $70 less than Apple.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's not a renewed, you know, what they call used or refurbished. Yeah, it's brand new. So interesting.
Yeah, I would be interested only in new AirPods Pro if they had some really interesting stuff for health sensors, yes, as we've talked about in the past, or, you know, I don't know if I care about battery life because mine tend to have pretty good battery life. I've not really had an issue with that. But I have been, since I started working out more, I probably use my AirPods now at least about an hour to an hour and a half a day.
Yeah, you know, no problem.
Not always at one time, but at least 45 minutes in one chunk and then maybe another 45 minutes on and off for the day.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. Is the one thing I would like is if Apple would provide, you know, versus third parties. I wish they would provide one more size up for the silicone tips. Because as I've told you before, I have big ear holes, apparently. And even the large, you know, the three sizes and the large, I think they fall out of my ears. I mean, just walking around, not doing anything strenuous, just, you know, walking around outside, they'll fall out. So I stopped using them anywhere, not in the house where, you know, I can set the alarm off and at least try to find them. Okay, is there anything else? There was no one more thing, right? There was no big announcement, surprise announcement at the end. Maybe it's because they can't surprise us anymore.
I've been getting really sad that we haven't had one more things.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that you had a one more thing pretty much every single Apple event, and we have not had one more things in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Steve Jobs is a master of doing that. Maybe it was easier to keep secrets in old days. I'm not sure what the one more thing would have been if, you know, looking at the list. But let's go through that. So you and I both have iPhone 12. Models. You have the Pro Max, I have the Pro. Looking at the 13, the only thing interesting to me was the new camera features. It's got telephoto, went up. I think it's only the Max, so it wouldn't affect me because I'm not going to buy Max because it's too big for me. It goes up from 2.5 to 3x optical zoom. It's got a macro, which I find really interesting. That's the one thing I would really like, you know, down to 2 centimeters. And it has night mode for ultra wide and a cinematic mode, which I find kind of interesting. For videos, I'm tempted, but I think I'm going to save my money till 14. Yeah, since the 12 is a fine phone, you know, and it's still under warranty, under AppleCare.
Yeah, that's the same thing I felt with it. And I think I'm going to wait till 14, just hoping to get some of those things that, like we've said, we really would like to see. The under-face Touch ID, you know. Really, anything else that Apple's been teasing us with, maybe an always-on display, that sort of thing. So the 12 is a good camera. The 13's a slightly better camera. I don't really think cinematic mode is going to be that great. I mean, it seems cool, but it doesn't seem like one of those features that you would use all the time and love and those sorts of things.
I think, John, and you know, although you are much younger than I am, I think we are out of the demographic for that. That particular feature. that's my suspicion.
It's possible, but now you're just making me a little sad, but you know.
You know, on the other hand, the night mode for ultra wide I find interesting, as well as the macro. You know, Apple's macro like capability is actually pretty darn good. You know, if you can take a picture of a flower or an insect or something, it does a pretty credible job, but at 2 centimeters, I'm really curious about that, but I guess I'll have to wait for 2022 to test that for myself. Maybe I'll get my daughter a new phone. Her phone's getting pretty old. I think she's got a 10. Yeah, it's pretty old. Now, the one that I was, you know, and I don't know why I was excited, because really it's an incremental upgrade, but it kind of had the check boxes for me, was the iPad mini 6. And it's got the Touch ID on the top power button, or the, you know, sleep button, whatever you call it. No Face ID like the Pro, which is kind of disappointing because, you know, for me, although I really want Touch ID on the phone, Face ID on the iPad, which I mostly use indoors, you know, by myself, Face ID is perfect on the iPad. So I'm a little disappointed it didn't get that. I was kind of surprised it got a USB-C port. I don't know why I was, but I just wasn't thinking about it maybe. But yay for USB-C. It also added the center stage feature from the iPad Pro, which, you know, basically keeps the main subject in a frame, centered in a frame, when you're doing like video conferencing and stuff. I've never used it. I have an iPad Pro that, yeah, well, you do, you too. We both have iPad Pros, I think, that have that feature, but never used it. Not surprising, but notable, it does not have a smart connector. So you can't use it with any of the Apple keyboards. And that's a little disappointing.
Which you're not a fan of anyway, because of how bad those keyboards have been in the past.
Yeah. But, you know, I keep hoping other people would use a smart connector, and I don't know if they do. I don't know if Logitech or anybody uses a smart connector. And I don't need a keyboard that's exactly the same size as the iPad. I carry a wider keyboard with me all the time. I carry Anker keyboard with me. That's kind of a mini Bluetooth keyboard. It's not, is it full size? Might be close to full size. But it's wider than my iPad mini, and I'm perfectly happy. I don't find the need for, you know, same sizeness a big deal. Would have been nice to have a smart connector, just cause. And support for Apple Pencil 2 versus the Apple Pencil 1 on the iPad Mini 5. I ordered one. Hoping it gets
here soon. And you know I ordered one too, because I texted you that I ordered it the day that it came out.
Yep.
You know, for me it was wanting to have a smaller device for around the house, wanting to be able to do note taking a little bit on a smaller device, because my iPad Pro, it's a 2018 iPad Pro. I love it, but it's a little heavy when you're walking and trying to take notes. And occasionally I'll be doing that. I'll be in a meeting and I just want to be able to scribble down notes here and there. So I wanted something a little smaller for that.
Yep.
The idea that I can interchangeably use the same Apple Pencil, that's a real seller for me. The lack of smart connector, honestly, until you brought it up, I hadn't really thought about it, because I hadn't thought to even get a keyboard for the iPad Mini. Because I'm not planning on replacing my large iPad Pro. I'm actually planning on this becoming another device to take with me daily. I like the idea of going back to a Mini. As we all know from what I've talked about on the podcast, at one point I had four iPads or something. Crazy number like that. I had the original iPad Pro, the large iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. I had the regular iPad. I had an iPad Mini, and then my phone and all this other stuff. I don't see myself ever wanting to go back to three iPads, but I could see myself doing two iPads just because of the different screen sizes. The other thing I thought was really interesting, because I thought about this after I bought it. I thought, you know, with the bezels getting smaller and the devices maintaining the same size,
right,
we've got to be getting to a point where this display on the iPad Mini is rivaling the size of the display on the original iPad.
I think you're right.
And so I looked it up, and the original iPad was a 9.7 diagonal, and the iPad Mini 6 is a 8.7 diagonal. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy when you think about the screen size is just an inch diagonal difference between the iPad Mini 6 and the original iPad from almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, and the iPad Mini 6 has a brighter screen, more pixels per inch. So it's all the way around. It's a much better obviously it's a much better experience than a 2010 original iPad. But it's really kind of fascinating, you know. And I still have. Might not turn on. I think the battery may have pooped out. I was going to try to turn it on and take a look. I do have an iPad too. That's I know for sure still works, because I just charged it up. So I might compare it to that, with its lack of Retina display and all of that. The one thing I was going to say is one of the reasons I've been carrying an iPad Mini since the original iPad Mini, and one of the reasons I don't feel a need for a Pro Max size phone is because I carry an iPad Mini with me, and so if I need a larger screen, well, gee, you know. Even the old, right, the current generation Mini 5 with a 7.9-inch display, it's perfectly fine and way bigger than, you know, Pro Max or my Pro, obviously, so it's perfect. I was going to say, you know, one of the things I wanted to test with you when we get we don't have to wait for our new Minis. I'll test with you when iPadOS comes out tomorrow is the new Notes feature that allows you to collaborate with notes with another person, which I don't think you can do right now. I think it's a single user mode.
Notes, you can collaborate. Can you collaborate? I've had share iCloud notes for a while now, yeah.
Well, there was something they were saying that's new in iPadOS 15, that, you know, something about notes is now easier to share and collaborate. But at any rate, I just wanted to test that out with you. Maybe we can test it pre and post 14 and 15 to see what the differences are. I'll go do some research and test it out. really looking forward to this. Really, really, really looking forward to iPad Mini 6. And I've had iPad Mini, Mini 4, Mini 5, and Mini 6. So this will be the fourth Mini I've bought in my lifetime. So I'm a big fan. Big, big fan. Now, the last item that was announced that I found interesting, there's probably something else announced that I left off, is the iPad 9th generation, which is a lower price. It's bigger display, but lower price than the iPad Mini 6, oddly enough. It comes with a smart connector. It only has Apple Pencil 1 support, and it adds center stage. Other than that, I mean, basically it looks like a great low-cost iPad, an entry-level iPad, and with support for Apple Pencil 1, that sounds like a winner to me if I were looking for, something in that price range and didn't really need Apple Pencil 2 support and all the other pro features I've come to kind of enjoy, including spatial audio. John, I don't know if I told you, I did test out spatial audio some more with some Apple TV stuff, the Apple TV Plus. And okay, I understand what you've been trying to explain to me now. When you kind of turn your head, keeping the display, stationary, yeah, it's kind of amazing. Also, gosh, I forget what I tried it with. It wasn't Ted Lasso, it was something else. But whatever I tried is that I had to pull my AirPods out of my ears because I wasn't sure where the sound was coming from.
Yeah, I had that same thing a couple of times where I thought, geez, it sounds like it's coming from that device sitting over there on the table and not coming from my ear.
Right.
And that's what's really cool about it, that you really doubt your own senses through it.
That was pretty I thought, oh, darn, my AirPods aren't working, or I didn't pair them. They were always paired. So I said, so what's going on? So I pulled, oh, it is in my ears.
Well, the logic hits you and you go, well, wait a minute. These things are blocking my ears. There's no way I hear it over there with this level of clarity.
True, true. It's interesting when, you doubt reality, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've been reading some rumors about stuff that we're kind of hoping for, maybe?
Yeah, so I'll see if I can find a good source for this. I saw it just this morning in one of my news feeds and didn't commit to memory where I saw it. Okay, so Mac Rumors does have a piece on this with analyst, forget what Gurman's first name is, but
Mark
basically
Gurman.
Mark Gurman. Yeah, you're right. There it is. Gurman is basically predicting a new AirPods Pro and redesigned iPad Pro coming in 2022. But he expects new MacBook Pros and AirPods to be announced by the end of 2021. And so you and I both have the one I want to talk about with this that I think is interesting is the iPad Pro, because obviously you and I have older generation iPad Pros. What are some things that would get you? We just talked about, and we've talked about for a number of weeks, what we would get an iPad Mini 6 upgrade for. And we got most of that. But, the Apple Fairy gave us what we wanted with that. What are some things you would need in order to make the jump for a new iPad Pro at the full size level?
That's an interesting question because, I have a 2020. So it's, it's the last of the Intel, well, whatever the heck it uses, that's the old ARM base, the pre-M1 device. It's a perfectly fine device. I have no issues with it. I don't know what I would need because when the M1 came out, I was really tempted to pick up an M1, M1-based iPad Pro, but I just didn't pull the trigger because I couldn't figure out what I really want. I don't know, John. The answer is I don't know.
Well, for me, I've had the 2018 iPad Pro since the end of 2018. And we've talked about the Apple keyboards failing. I'm on the keyboard folio number 3 right now. I've been buying them off eBay cheap to keep replacing them. And I actually have a fourth one sitting that I bought for $30 that's sitting in my closet waiting for this one to die. But when it's done, I'm done with this iPad. I figure that's enough to upgrade to. The Magic Keyboard looks kind of cool. I don't know what the durability is on it. I'm hoping that the next-gen Magic Keyboards will be something I can give a try and not be sorely disappointed in. Of course, they say once bitten, twice shy. Now, if I get a third one of these keyboards, it'll be 3 times bitten, but I keep going for it somewhat, some reason. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment.
But the Magic Keyboards are expensive.
I know. That's Apple. Yeah. Really, for me, what will get me to upgrade A is just I want to be on an M1 and or an M2 maybe by that point.
Yep.
Also, I'm hoping the weight will be a little lighter. Because like I said, this iPad Pro is just it's a little heavier than I've always wanted it to be. And that was the reason why I wanted to go back to a mini to have around the house. And I don't know. The weight is, it just seems like it needs to be about 10 to 20% lighter for me to really find it to be a useful device. So maybe if I didn't have the keyboard cover on there, that would be the perfect weight. But I think they're kind of designed to have things like the keyboard cover on there. That's the whole point of an always-on keyboard cover. So that would be the big deal for me. But I do think, 2018 to 2022 seems about a reasonable time period for a device I use every single day to upgrade. Absolutely. That's where I'm at with us right now on the iPad Pro. Eventually, I'll be happy to upgrade it, but... maybe next year will be the year of a new iPad Pro, a new iPhone, and a new Apple Watch. And I think I'm still going to stick with the MacBook Pro from 2020, the last Intel MacBook Pro. I think I'm probably still going to keep that for another few more years.
Yeah, I'm using a 2019 MacBook Pro right now to record this podcast. It is working perfectly fine, no complaints. I did buy a MacBook, an Air? Yeah, I guess it's a MacBook Air M1. In 2020, just because I was so darn curious about the M1 and its ability to run some iOS apps. And I have to say, I love that device. It runs way cooler than my MacBook Pro, which is, always has run a little bit hot, especially when you're doing things like podcasting. Basically, apparently takes up a lot of processor power. And the battery just lasts forever. It's just amazing. So, yeah, interesting question. I guess the answer would be, if the M1-based or M2, whatever, M1X-based new iPad Pro could run some weird thing in like a, container, just separate it out, I don't know, small Linux box, I don't know. No, that's completely unnecessary. I just can't think of it. Except that if it would... Well, maybe 15 will fix it. I was going to say if it's really a UI problem, not a device problem. It's, if the multitasking is fixed, and like you mentioned earlier, if they have added actual clues or cues, visual cues back to the screen versus trying to remember the incantations, the gesture incantations, it might be useful again. Yeah,
it is insane how. We've had those multitasking gestures on iPad OS now for years, and I've never learned any of them.
Nobody knows how to use them.
And finally, I think the buttons are going to make things a lot easier for a lot of people.
Yeah. I do kind of wish they'd put a 2.5 millimeter, or is it 3.5? 2.5 millimeter earphone jack back in the iPad Pro.
Oh, you want a 3.5. The 2.5 was
3.5.
Had for a while there with cell phones in the early
2000s. Yeah, the weird one.
3.5,
there we go. And I know you can buy lightning-based, earphones, like the ones that used to ship with the iPhone. And now that we're going USB-C, I have actually a couple of USB-C wired, earbuds and stuff. But boy, I don't know. Old school, sometimes it's nice to have just a $10 pair that's sticking in an emergency that is going to work versus where is that USB-C earbuds or whatever. Okay, well, I guess next week we will be able to talk more about iOS 15, iPad OS 15. I mean, I know people have been talking about it in its betas and stuff, but I haven't tried any of it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
This is the first year I didn't install early. So I'm going to wait for tomorrow and then do with everyone else. Yeah, usually when it goes to the Gold Master or the Reese candidate, I then go for it at that point, just get it a couple days early. But no, I thought about it for today, and I thought, I'll wait maybe until Tuesday or Wednesday, because I've got a full day of work tomorrow.
Mm.
Of course, I do have an afternoon open. Maybe some device will get it tomorrow. Maybe the iPad Pro will get it tomorrow. But I'm also looking forward to that assistive touch with the one-handed operation for the Apple Watch in the accessibility. So I want to see how intuitive that is to use, because I really hope I can start using it.
or if it's going to be like, you know, a Harry Potter hand waving thing that you need to figure out how to make it work. But okay, we may have to start taking, you know, incantation classes for magical gestures or something.
I'm all up for that.
Okay, John. All righty, we have managed to fill out another 30 minutes. But we did actually have a lot to talk about. You know, I'm glad I had a chance to discuss this with you, get your thoughts. We're both looking forward to getting an iPad Mini 6. I ordered a spare Apple Pencil 2, by the way, because, you know, I didn't want to lose my one and only, which I use my daily doodle project. I did order one, which is sitting in a box, still unopened. I'll unbox it all at the same time. I'm not going to video it or anything, just kind of for my personal satisfaction. And we'll get back to you guys next week with the next Mobile Views podcast, and we'll have actual, hopefully. Because, you know, before I let you go, I read that people who didn't order on the first day like us are now seeing shipping dates in October and November. So,
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So I hope
there's
our ship dates don't slip.
There's a lot more iPad Mini fans out there. A lot more iPad Mini really? Fans out there than right? I think people want to admit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of a forgotten device, but there are a lot of, like me, like I said, I've been using it since the original one. It's what I carry with me every single day. Okay, folks, we'll get back to you in our Mobile Views Podcast 377 next week. We'll talk to you next time.